Well, we are on to week number two in my Advent sermon series for this year called At the Movies, Christmas Version. In this series, we're taking a look at clips from popular Christmas movies and then drawing some biblical themes out of them to discuss. I'm going to begin this Sunday right away with some clips, and I'll tell you, my opening movie clips for us here are strictly just for fun. We'll have some later that actually tie into the subject, but I thought I'd kind of keep in the step with the Ball Brothers here, and one of the highlights from that concert. Lisa, let's roll our first little series of clips.
Oh, beautiful. Looks like a Christmas tree.
Spray?
Sure.
Have you seen these toilets? They're ginormous!
Did you hear that? Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? Put that down.
All right, there's Buddy the Elf for you. Little piece of Eric and Anna trivia for you. Our first date, we went to see Elf in the movie theater. So there you go. Olive Garden and Elf. That magic formula. Let's get into a little bit more serious thinking for a bit. Last Sunday morning in our first At the Movies sermon, we just simply took some time to celebrate the gospel. And I made the statement that Christmas isn't just celebrating the birth of Jesus, right? Of course, it's a celebration of his entire life and a celebration of the message he brought to the world, which was a message of good news, of salvation made possible, a message we call the gospel. But there are a good number of aspects to the teaching of this man, Jesus, and I want to look at a more specific part of what he brought to the world with you this morning. We'll start to see our topic for today if we look within one of the descriptions of Jesus' birth, a passage that is read all over the world at about this time every year. This is from Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Jesus came to bring peace on earth. We sing that every Christmas, right? The prophet Isaiah had proclaimed that the Messiah, the coming Messiah, would be the Prince of Peace. Well, we can relate to that desire to have peace in our lives, in our world. It may seem to us, though, if we're honest, that Jesus failed in his attempt of accomplishing peace. I mean, there's so much turmoil that remains on the earth. But I want to tell you today that although we might have that thought go through our minds on occasion, it most definitely is incorrect. Jesus absolutely did bring about an astounding leap forward in the level of peace on our planet, and we're going to talk about that. Let's think of all the division and the lack of peace that was being experienced in relationships back when Jesus was born. The biggest example of a broken relationship at that time would have been the one between God and humankind. So God, the Bible tells us, cannot be with sin because he is goodness and love and light. He can't mingle with darkness. And that was a huge problem for a human race that was and is still full of sin. So we broke our relationship with the one who gave us life, not a real wise thing to do. So a most important broken relationship there, one with eternal impact. But that wasn't the only division in relationships at that going on at that time of Jesus' birth. Many years before that first Christmas, God had begun an effort to remedy the broken situation between humanity and himself through interacting in a special way with the nation of Israel. He had to start somewhere. That special relationship, though, had led to a big division between the Israelite people and all the other people of the earth. The Israelites lumped everybody else under one heading, the Gentiles, the non-Israelites, and they worked to stay far away from them, looked down their noses at them. We've seen in our past Bible studies here together on Sunday mornings that the Israelites, if they had to travel from Jerusalem up to Galilee, they would not take the most direct route there because that would mean traveling through Samaria, which was a land inhabited by Samaritans, a race of people who were half Israelite, half Gentile. The full-blooded Israelites would rather take a much longer roundabout way rather than have to interact even with half-Gentiles. So, big lack of peace and division between God and humanity, big lack of peace and division between the Israelites and non-Israelites, and of course we could come up with many other examples of people-to-people division going on back in those days as well if we had time. Jesus, as the angels announced, came to change that. He came to bring peace. Jesus came to heal relationships. You already know that when Jesus died on the cross and he paid the debt for human sin so that any human being who would stop running away from God but would turn back to him and make him Lord over his or her life, who would confess faith in Jesus as the true Son of God, that person would be saved from the path of eternal destruction and separation from the Creator that they were on due to their sin. I'm going to spend the least amount of time on that part of the peace that Jesus brought to the earth, although it is by far the most significant and important part. Jesus made peace between human beings and their God possible. Jesus came to heal relationships. All this is from God, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Even in the temple that God had instructed for the Israelites to build, and these were his chosen people, even there the divide between God and humanity could be seen in the walls and the curtain barriers God had them build into that structure. Barriers that were clearly set up to keep sinful people away from a holy God and from his special presence that was held in the central room of that temple. But when Jesus died on the cross, it tells us in Matthew 27, the curtain barrier in front of that central room in the temple ripped in two. Jesus brought down the barriers. Jesus made peace with God possible, and that is monumental. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith in Christ, we have peace. We can have peace with our God. But there's more. What about that division between the Gentiles and the Israelites in Jesus' day? Well, Jesus started a new thing there as well. He initiated it officially by handpicking an Israelite man named Paul, to whom he gave a new mission, a mission to bring the gospel message to Gentile people. They could become Christ followers too, and be equal under Christ to any Jew or Israelite who had become a Christ follower. Look at Ephesians 2 with me. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing to Gentiles who had become believers in Jesus, and he mentions the division they previously experienced with the Israelites, and then he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Paul was Jesus' point person for this healing of the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. But Jesus had really begun teaching this new way of thinking before he got to Paul. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? He taught that and taught that everyone is our neighbor. So remember the long way around the Israelites would take to get from Jerusalem to Galilee to avoid interacting with the Samaritans? Well, Jesus, he took the shortcut. He traveled through Samaria, and he didn't avoid interacting with Samaritans. He spoke with them. He taught them. And to his fellow Israelites, he even told a parable about a good Samaritan, right? Jesus brought peace into the relationships between Gentiles and Jews. And that principle from Christ obviously was to be applied to all nationalities and cultures out there, even to the divisions in class and between men and women. When Jesus is your Lord, you are all one. And it says just that in Galatians 3. In Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus. Jesus broke down the barriers in all kinds of areas that existed between human beings. He brought peace. He came to heal relationships. And we're not done with this. Think back in your life now about all the times that a relationship you have had with someone has been damaged, either by them saying or doing something hurtful to you, or by you saying or doing something hurtful to them. We can all think of plenty of that, right? Well, now, imagine if Jesus hadn't taught forgiveness to the world. What would the world be like today if Jesus hadn't taught forgiveness? Vengeance, right? Tit for tat. A spiral of building hate. The Hatfields and the McCoys, if anyone still remembers what that means. So you think that relationships in the world are tough now. What if Jesus hadn't had the impact that he has had on human morality? Forgive, taught Jesus. Matthew 18, Peter asks Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And if you know the symbolic meaning attached to some numbers in the Bible, you'll know this was really Jesus telling Peter, you never stop forgiving. So forgive. And ask for forgiveness when you're the one who's messed up. Here's Jesus in Matthew 5. If you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come back and offer your gift. Paul took the principle he learned from Jesus and said it this way, bear with each other. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's Colossians 3. And the author of Hebrews said in chapter 12, make every effort to live in peace with everybody. So Jesus taught and modeled forgiveness to the world. He came to bring peace. He came to heal relationships. One more. There was a prophecy written hundreds of years before Jesus about the breaking in of the era of the Messiah. Specifically, it was written about the person who would precede Jesus on the scene, the herald of the coming Messiah, and we know now that's John the Baptist. But the idea held within this prophecy is not just about John the Baptist's preaching. It's very much tied in with the Messiah and his purpose in the world. I'll read the prophecy for you now. This is Malachi 4, 6. And it says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So again, evidence here that the coming of the Messiah was to bring about healing in relationships. Our family relationships do need some healing, don't they? Often they do. Here's where I want to head us back to the movies. And, believe it or not, to a very meaningful scene in Home Alone. It's Christmas Eve, and Kevin is missing his family. He dejectedly walks the streets and comes upon a church. He hears music, heads in, and sits down. Throughout the movie, prior to this, Kevin has been having close calls with a terribly scary and notoriously, reportedly mean neighbor of his. And now, sitting in the church pew, he looks over to his right, and sitting right there is that scary old man. No escape for Kevin this time. Let's watch together.
Merry Christmas. May I sit down? That's my granddaughter up there. The little red-haired girl. She's about your age. You know her?
No.
You live next to me, don't you? You can say hello when you see me. You don't have to be afraid. There's a lot of things going around about me, but none of it's true. Okay? Been a good boy this year?
I think so.
You swear to it?
No.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Well, this is the place to be if you're feeling bad about yourself.
It is?
I think so.
Are you feeling bad about yourself?
No.
I've been kind of a pain lately. I said some things I shouldn't have. I really haven't been too good this year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset about it because I really like my family. Even though sometimes I say I don't. Sometimes I even think I don't. Do you get that?
I think so. How you feel about your family is a complicated thing.
Especially with an older brother.
Deep down, you always love him. But you can forget that you love them. And you can hurt them, and they can hurt you. And that's not just because you're young. You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
I came to hear my granddaughter sing. And I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
Well, he's grown up. We lost our tempers, and I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. We haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
Basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it, and he won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad, especially around the holidays.
I don't know.
Just give it a shot. For your granddaughter, anyway. I'm sure she misses you and the presents.
Wisdom from the mouth of a child. And Kevin's words tie in nicely with the teaching of Jesus we're looking at today. Jesus came to bring healing in our relationships with people in general, and he came to bring healing in our relationships with the individuals in our families. He came to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and vice versa. So, what relationships in your life are broken? Are there some in your family? Or maybe an old friend that you had a falling out with? I'd guess we can all think of somebody. Well, being a follower of Jesus means that we will seek to live as he taught. And that means then that we are to look to forgive and look to be forgiven. It means striving to be at peace with everyone. Now, sometimes the divisions found in our relationships with people aren't due to tiny little things. Sometimes they're really big things. Sometimes the reason it's broken is because of a devastatingly hurtful thing. And it's not impossible that some of the broken relationships that you have in your life need to stay broken, at least for the time being. If there's a person who has harmed you in the past, just can't get to the point of behaving in a manner that will stop harm coming to you, then I don't believe you would be asked by God to enter back into a close relationship with that person. It's okay to have boundaries in extreme situations like that. But we need to balance that thought out with the words of Jesus in Luke 6, where he said, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, do to others as you would have them do to you." In most all circumstances, I believe we're called by our Lord to do what we can to mend broken relationships, even the really difficult ones. So I wonder if Kevin McAllister's advice to his neighbor there might be applicable to a situation in your life today. Is there a relationship or two that ought to be repaired over the coming weeks? Who do you need to call? You know, if you've been paying attention to current events, both around here and in the news, we only get a certain amount of time on this planet. What if that person that you're on the outs with would die before you reconcile with them? How would you feel about that? Should you do something about it now? So yeah, I encourage you, make contact and clear the air if you need to. Express your hurts. But do that in a loving way, and do that with the hope that it will lead to reconciliation and a renewed and healthy relationship with that person moving forward. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Jesus came to bring peace. Hey, there's an awful lot of dysfunction and turmoil, murder and war in this world still. Did Jesus fail? The answer is a loud no. Jesus hung on a cross and opened the incredible possibility that a human being's separation from God could be repaired. That's a healing of a division that we were not going to be able to repair on our own. And so we can't overstate the importance of that act. But Jesus also healed the rift between Israelite and Gentile. His work led at least within the church to breaking down walls between nationality and culture and class and sex. His teaching on forgiveness revolutionized the moral thinking of the world over time. And his efforts led at least to those who have tried to apply his teachings to healing in family relationships. Turning of the hearts of the children to their parents and the parents to their children. No, the arrival of Jesus into Bethlehem did not end discord and division, but it took a huge step in that direction. And Jesus isn't done yet. Amen. He came to bring peace. He came to heal relationships. Well, I probably should show to you here in my sermon closing The beautiful tear-jerker scene at the end of Home Alone, where later on Christmas Day, Kevin sees his neighbor out in the driveway, gladly welcoming to his home his son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter, to whom he gives an emotional hug. The neighbor gave it a shot, called his son, and his son was willing to try again. Now, that kind of result may not happen to you if you decide to attempt to fix the relationships that are broken in your life. That kind of result pretty much for sure won't happen if you don't make the effort, right? Something to think about. So yeah, I should show that scene to you, but rather than leaving you with a tearjerker, I'm going to end on a slightly different tone. And Ryan and Harlow, when this video is done, you can come up and lead us in the hymn as soon as the video is done. So yes, if you make an effort to reconcile with someone in your life, maybe you'll be able to have a moment like this one.
Hey! You found it!
Buddy!
I need to tell you something.
I know, buddy. There's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there. Not a word. I know you may be a little, chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
Buddy.